to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, nothing says king like the sight of old tattered garments laying around in the street, right? I'm kidding. These were not the most valuable things that the people threw on the streets. Maybe we didn't throw our most valuable things on the ground. I know that to be true. Maybe you saw the garments strewn about in the narthex as you came into the space. Those come from our Christmas costumes that usually sit in a box down in the basement. So we found some of those. Vicky found some of those down in the basement, and we threw about these old Christmas shepherd's costumes and angel costumes and wise men costumes. And then some of you, we talked about maybe bringing some of our own garments to throw about, and we'll take those and donate those, which is wonderful. But I know some of those came, that's true for us as well, came from clothes that we didn't really want anymore, so we thought we could donate those. And that's still an opportunity for you to donate some clothes. It's a nice opportunity. But it's not our finest, most expensive coats, probably, the ones that mean the most to us. We sort of threw out some of our leftovers, some of our things that we didn't want. Maybe we're clearing our closet to get some new, nicer things. Nothing says king like the sight of old tattered garments lying around. Nothing says Hosanna like Jesus getting dusty and dirty, riding in on a baby horse. This is the scandal of the gospel, friends. The scandal, only to be outdone later this week. And you know how the story goes. Later this week, when this same God of ours is hoisted up onto a dead tree, onto a cross. Welcome to Holy Week. Are you sure you want to do this? Because this road becomes a bumpy road if you take it. Now many, I imagine, choose to skip over Holy Week devotions and services on Thursday and Friday, maybe daily devotions, and simply meet us on Easter morning, and that's okay. Everyone is welcome. But for those of you who take this journey to the cross, know that the road is rocky, but also know that this road is a road of redemption, of new life, of forgiveness, of transformation, love, hope, and most of all, peace. This is a road of peace in a violent and chaotic and backstabbing world. Jesus, on this colt, trots down the road of peace and fulfills what the angels sang about to the shepherds a long time ago. Our church is named Bethlehem. Our whole church is named after what happened on that holy night back in December. Remember the angels singing to the shepherds? They sang, "Peace on earth, goodwill to all." We heard a similar thing this morning. "Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." This entry into Jerusalem, this parade of and for Jesus, which we remember and even enact in a small way with our little procession this morning, all of this was a very dangerous and political demonstration. Anyone who doesn't think Jesus was a political leader better take a second look at these stories. Rocky road, right? Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And when it comes to political protests and demonstrations, maybe some of you have been part of political protests and demonstrations, you know that timing is everything. You see, every year, a couple times a year, Pontius Pilate, the mighty Roman governor of Judea, would come up from his home in Caesarea Philippi, which was about 50 miles northwest of Jerusalem. I say up because it was elevation. He would come up elevation-wise as he came southeast down to Jerusalem, and he would enter the city to govern, to remind people who's really in charge here. The Jews, of course, lived in occupied territory, and they hated that. I'm sure we would too, if our territory was occupied by an outside force. Just the sight of the mighty Roman procession of Pilate and his entourage up on their mighty war horses would make the Jews' blood boil. It would remind them more than ever of the oppression under which they lived. But if any of them took a chance and tried to mock this governor, well, try throwing something at an imperial military procession and just see what happens. And this was the week that the Jews were to be celebrating the Passover. The Passover. People were coming in from all over Judea to do this. And so just like when the Capitals and the Nationals both have a big game in D.C. at the same time, extra security is shipped in just to keep the peace, just in case things get out of hand. Now, that was all very peaceful yesterday, and we were part of that. We were at the Nationals game. It was really exciting. But there were a lot of people downtown yesterday. This happened whenever the Jews had a celebration. Extra security was actually shipped in, and especially the festival of the Passover. Because here, as you know, the Jews are celebrating their liberation from Egypt, their freedom from oppression. It was all about freedom from oppression, the celebration of the Passover. So this is interesting. It was very tense. Something could flip and the crowds could get unruly. There were certain groups of Jews, especially the Zealots, and they were known to incite the Jewish crowds. I mean, think of the irony. You're celebrating freedom under Roman oppression. Something could happen here. Anything could happen. So Pilate comes into town and makes sure nothing does happen. This was called Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, that great decree of Caesar, live and in the flesh. And Pilate and his military forces always came in. We know this from historians. We know that they always came in through a gate on the western side of Jerusalem. That was the royal gate. Everybody knew that. The gate that leads right to their Roman city of Caesarea, that luxurious capital on the Mediterranean coast. It gave them easy access to Jerusalem. They could slip in and slip out as they needed to and rule and conquer. And Roman theology put military power, military leaders on such a pedestal as to elevate the experience of their triumphal entry into a religious event. When the Roman military leaders and governors like Pilate would come into town, they were always mounted on a great white war horse, and people would spread blankets and wave palm branches and shout, "God save the emperor!" In other words, "Hosanna to the emperor!" Trumpets would play. Historians even tell us that they would spray expensive perfume in the air so they'd literally smell like triumph in the air. We talked about the power of smell last week. It smelled like victory. And woe to anyone who would disrupt a demonstration, a parade, a worship service like this. I mean, it would be like somebody disrupting our national anthem. I mean, we're paying our respects, our allegiance to the state. Don't interrupt us when we do that. Try it. See what happens. At the beginning of the Passover week, Pilate and his entourage rode into town from the west with all this respect and awe and fanfare and worship. But there was another procession that day coming in from the east. From the east, another leader was entering through an opposite gate. This one was Jesus, coming in from Bethphage, which was to the east, where the Mount of Olives is located, just east of the Jerusalem walls. And Jesus timed this just right. He knew that Pilate was coming from the west right about the same time. So Jesus rides in, not on a war horse, but on a colt in Luke's gospel, a baby horse. And it all came off as mockery of Rome. Jesus interrupted a national anthem. And this Palm Sunday parade that we study and reflect upon this morning, we even enact it a little bit here at the beginning of Holy Week. This is a political demonstration that really mocks all the trust that the Romans have in their systems of war, in their systems of peace by force, which is, of course, not peace at all, in their mighty horses and legions of troops. Rome was distant from the people. They're not in touch like God with us is in touch. It's not pox at all that Rome offers. It's peace through force. And Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And so the text goes on to say that the people were in fact stirred up. The whole city, it says, was in turmoil. Some of the Pharisees were uncomfortable at this. Maybe like we would be too. Whoa, 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 they say to Jesus. Calm down. Teacher, order your disciples to stop. And of course, Jesus says to them, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. The very earth would scream. As if to say, there is no going back. We are down this track to the cross. There's no keeping status quo any longer. Something has broken out. Heaven has touched earth. And that's frightening. And that's promising. So welcome to Holy Week, which is so rich with meaning as we move down this path. Our God, friends, is not a contender for Pilate and Rome and their legions, even though I'm probably setting it up like that. And this is actually the work of two scholars, Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan, this kind of image of these two different entry points. It's almost like a boxing match is starting. They're coming from the left. They're coming from the right. Are you ready to see it? What is Don King? You're ready to rumble. That's not actually what's happening here. No, Christ's road is a road to peace. They're on two different levels altogether. Christ's road is a road of justice, particularly in Luke's gospel. Remember Jesus' inauguration speech long ago? And Mary's song even before that. We've been singing Mary's song all through Lent on Wednesday nights about the poor being filled and having good news brought to them. Christ is our peace. So Jesus' entry is about something completely different, even if it's making a statement and even a mockery. But I wonder if there is a part of us, I know there's a part of me that wants to see Jesus be the great contender and take Pilate down. Take down the powers of this world. Wouldn't we like that today in ways? A divine TKO, like a boxing match. Why do we have this appetite for violence and revenge? It would certainly be tapping into the spirit of the crowds at that time too. That's exactly what they were looking for. They wanted Jesus to knock Pilate out of the box. But friends in Christ, Jesus contends against something much greater than a powerful and oppressive regime. Jesus contends against evil and sin, against the devil and all his empty promises, against hatred and violence, against war and oppression, against bigotry and ignorance, against selfishness and pride. Jesus contends against all those things that were before us. Maybe you personally, during this Lenten season, we've talked about this for these 40 days, these images of bitterness that wells up, and we thought about that, the struggle to forgive someone. Jesus contends against that temptation to fall asleep and lose our alertness. Jesus contends against participating in ways that show less care for the least and the lost and the lowly. How'd that go for you during this Lenten season? I'm guessing, by virtue of the fact that you are a human being, that you didn't perfect all the disciplines of Lent that we were invited into almost 40 days ago. You know, the prayer and the fasting and the giving of alms, all this deep spiritual work. I'm guessing you didn't perfect it, or maybe accomplish what you were hoping to accomplish as you gave something up or maybe took something on. And that's okay. Maybe you failed pretty miserably at it. And that's okay. Lent teaches us again and again that we stand in the need of God's grace. But today we hear that Jesus comes to contend against all those forces. We fall short, but Christ steps up and contends against death itself. Jesus, in his humble and yet powerful ride into town, mounted on a goofy young colt, is contending against death itself. Nothing says Emmanuel like Christ on a goofy young colt. Nothing says God is with us like this spectacle of the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. For God comes quietly alongside us and offers us peace amid all the chaos and fury. The irony of all this is palpable. That Christ would take on the powers of this world, and powers much greater than Pilate and the authorities, who, by the way, he loved, because Christ is God. He even loved these powers. They were not on the same plane. He does all this seated on a baby horse, adorned later, we'll hear this week, with thorns and lashings, on Friday hanging on a cross. But Christ comes into Jerusalem and into our hearts precisely for this purpose, to take on death itself for our sake, to give us peace. Amen.
All of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.
Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.